We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we've had to sit and defend it. And we've had to sit and argue for balancing it and all of the issues with the bots and all the bullshit. There's so many years. Now they're like, yeah, we might remove it. We're still going to see when that's going to happen. I don't know how to fucking respond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, a show dedicated to talk about all the progress things in life, like music, content creation, and video games. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jesse Kazam.
And I'm Veritas, and don't worry, my nipples are fine.
I thought it was going to be like, I'm Cold Nipples McGee or something.
Welcome to the Nipcast, where we talk about all the... How many different memes do we have? We've got Leather Daddy, dude. We've got Gruff Daddy, we've
Creamcast,
we've got...
Hot D.
The Mauled Cast.
Hot D69.
We got the fucking Brad Chad.
I did it again. People were saying Brad, and I was like, why?
What did they talk about?
I remembered that we made it Brad, but I couldn't remember why. It was like Veritas's friend or something. I couldn't remember why we named it. We made the secret code Brad.
I don't even remember why. What it was that made me think of my buddy Brad. Oh God, dude, I should probably listen to our own. Nah, fuck that. I almost said we should listen to our own podcast.
To our own podcast.
No thanks.
But because we're talking about this within the first 3 minutes, so many people that don't get to the end are wondering what we're talking about too.
Oh yeah,
you got to get to the end for the secret code that we then tell you to type into our comments, and then wonder why you're typing them in our comments a week later.
Yeah, exactly. You have to. It's not always the end. We hide it somewhere in there. It might be in the end. And here's the thing: the secret word, the secret code that we put in there. All I'm saying is that anytime you go internet shopping anywhere, especially if it's like either my merch or Jesse's merch or any of our sponsors or whatever, use the code word in any of those coupon checkout. I'm not saying it's not gonna work. I'm just saying, listen to the whole fucking thing.
Listen to the whole podcast.
I think everything I just said was like legally and ethically.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's not grammatically correct, does it hold up in court? I don't think so. I don't think that's how that works,
yeah,
right?
No, I don't think if it's grammatically incorrect that it doesn't hold up.
Exactly. that was my point. So anyway, all of my dreams are crushed and I'm...
No, what happened?
50% sad and depressed. So you know how I've been... Do you remember, this quiz time, do you remember the two games that I've been waiting like 2 years for? Would you happen to remember?
We talked about one, Rocksmith.
Yeah, yep.
The other one I don't remember.
Kerbal Space Program.
Okay. Wait, is there KSP news?
No, but Rocksmith came out yesterday.
Oh no, is it bad?
No, sorry, 2 days ago. It's not so much that it's bad. It's that there's nothing about it that's good. Except for one thing, which it doesn't really... So, first of all, right now, I get that it's like, it came out, it's early, not early access, like it's fully
it's out,
released.
Yeah.
but I think they're planning on having like a million plus songs. Right now, there's like nothing.
Mm.
I was able to find Sweet Home Alabama, although it wasn't the original. God. It wasn't like, so, you know, it was like one of those Kevin McLeod copyright free versions of the fucking song.
Dude.
And it didn't have a lead version, it only had like the chords version, and the chords were wrong. Not to mention that there was just like the latency issues that I get every time I play those games, trying to go back and forth. You can play like with a USB, like fucking Rocksmith cable. Or I mean, I already have everything all set up.
Yeah.
And so I ended up hacking together a system where I'd play through my laptop DAW, which is what the stream would hear with the good effects and everything. And then it would go into the game. I would have to do some latency compensation. And then I would mute the monitoring of the game so you couldn't hear the game, because I had to contend with dealing with the fact that the notes are coming down.
Yeah.
The song, the sound of the song wasn't matching with the visual sound of the song. And then I would play a note, and the note would sound 300 milliseconds later. So there's like four different, there's what I'm playing, there's what I'm hearing me play, there's what I'm being shown, and then there's what I'm hearing being shown. And none of them matched.
That's rough.
I managed to finagle a way to get it good. I spent 20 minutes looking around in every genre, every song. I searched for everything. I was like, Hoobastank, Nickelback, Eric Clapton, The Beatles, Boston. Like, I was everything I could think of. Taylor Swift.
That's crazy.
I was able to find a couple of songs that I liked. And I don't know, are you familiar with Imogen Heap? You know, the hide and seek? Where are we?
Okay.
Well, the vocoder.
Yeah. I didn't know that was the
one
name of the band.
One of her songs, like a solo electronic vocoder on Rocksmith, which for those of you that don't know is essentially like Guitar Hero, but with a real guitar or bass. Yeah. There was that song, and then there was the other good song was a Snarky Puppy song.
Okay,
which you're familiar with Snarky Puppy.
I heard some other stuff. I didn't like. They're like to them a lot, but yeah,
a really good like jazz fusion-y rock kind of band, like one of the best bands out there today. So I was like, hell yeah. And it's a 7 minute song, and the fifth note is wrong in the chart, and it was just so frustrating. Like, I would play if the chart was right and it was the right notes I was supposed to be able to play, I'd say maybe 10% of the notes I'd hit them perfectly and it wouldn't register.
Yeah.
But then if I hit them wrong in the exact precise wrong way, it would register. So I have to hit the right notes wrong and the wrong notes right, and the charts don't match.
It seems like that's the whole point of rock. Like, it seems like if you launched a game like that, the one thing you'd need to nail is have a big library. Because people would probably...
And make the thing work.
Yeah, people would probably be willing to put up with a lot to be able to hear and play along with their own with music they want to play. They might put up with some latency or some errors in the thing or whatever. But it's like, to like launch the thing, like that feels like the first impression that people put it down and just go, oh, I wasted my money. Like you spend 20, 30 minutes looking for songs, find one or two, and some notes are wrong, like... That just
this
feels
is after
like,
having spent 20 minutes buying the $100 annual subscription,
because
it's a subscription service.
Oh yeah, so now, we were talking about that.
So now I have the whole thing. It's like, well, I already paid for like the year up front, the $99 or whatever. Do I wait and hope a songs come out and they fix their shit in the next year? No, it's going to roll over to one day after my annual thing, and it's going to charge me $100 again, and I'm forever going to be sucked into it. The Yubi hole.
The Yubi hole.
So,
yeah,
that's
crazy.
Kind of sad. Hoping maybe they'll do something. I don't know. That it's basically just the old version of Rocksmith with less songs
that are charted wrong.
Yeah. So it's just weird. Like, you would think Oh, the one big improvement, and the reason why I was excited, was it shows this version of the game has tabs. So you can have tab UI instead of the like weird Guitar Hero kind of thing.
That's actually really cool.
It's so I could never wrap my head around like the bottom string is the top string, but the string it's just never really made sense to me.
Oh, the Guitar Hero way or the tab way?
It's the Rocksmith way. Because Guitar Hero, think about you have like buttons in order, yep. like the four yep. fingers, and it matches up with what's on the screen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah. there's a row 100%.
From left to right, but on this one, it's like not like that.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
horizontal, and I don't know. I can't follow it in real time, like sight
read. So you're glad
that.
There's tabs.
Or I'm glad there's tabs in order for me to see how wrong it is. so, yeah, that was disappointing.
That is sad.
I guess maybe Kerbal Space Program 2 is, I guess, I can copium for.
Is there a date for that? I remember you showed me the trailer for it, like, in the first 10 or 15 episodes of the podcast, bro. Like, they've been working on that game for forever.
I mean, yeah, it's they started schedule release early 2023. Okay. Oh, God, it's in Unity. I bet you the netcode's really going to be troublesome.
Steam audio is terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've just been putting my brain through a cheese grater looking for John B. glasses. That's it. That's all I need.
I had no idea John B. had an item in the game.
Yeah, you know those
glasses. I don't know any of the new items.
He always wears in his videos. It's just like one, like basically like cyborg continuous sunglasses thing. It's super dark.
Weren't you wearing them?
Yes, but I buy them off the flea market to try and manifest finding them.
Because
I need
okay.
to turn one in for Kappa, but I just buy them off the flea market.
Yeah, I saw... when I came into the stream, it was the first time I saw him. Like, this is Data looking motherfucker.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Star Trek.
It's so sick. So that's John B's.
I love it.
Streamer item. And I can't find it. I am level 55. I have every quest done. I have every other streamer item turned in. It's like John B glasses. I get Kappa. And I'm just putting my brain through a blender. What's crazy is that like the Gingy keychain and the Willer's wallet are the hardest ones because they only spawn in marked rooms, and you can get them in like scav cases if but like the only physical place you can pick one up is marked rooms, and the marked key this wipe is unreal. They reduced the uses down to 10 from 25. Remember when they gave keys durability, they gave marked key 25. Well, now it's 10, and I haven't found one. Three of my viewers over the course of the wipe have been like, I don't play Tarkov anymore, or I don't play Customs, and I have a marked key. Do you want it? And we'll barter for something on the flea market. But I haven't found a single marked key. Like, it's so hard to find those items. I have both of those. I got super lucky with those. But the John B's spawn in the black weapon boxes, the long, skinny ones, the big black weapon boxes, the weapon boxes that are the square ones. They spawn in duffel bags. They spawn in stashes. They can spawn on scavs if the scav has a backpack. They can spawn everywhere. And I just can't find them. They can spawn on the dead scavs.
Have you been really unlucky, or are they fairly rare?
I don't know. All I know is I get about 600 people a day tell me that they just found them.
Yeah.
And people are saying they found like two or three. They have found two in one day before. Like, they're not as rare. I'm getting really unlucky. Oh, bro. And then, okay. So another really rare one is Dan Exert's. It's the forklift key. It's a key, and it's just like his. It's got like a lanyard, and it's like Dan Exert's logo. That's
I got to look at all these new streamer items.
Yeah,
I've been out of the
they're
loop.
They're really cool.
That's awesome. I love Dan.
So Dan has a streamer item, and I played with Deadly Slob yesterday. And he has all of his items except for the Willer's wallet and the Dan Exert. And I need the John B. So we were just like looking, checking stashes. I, while we were playing, pulled a Willer's wallet out of my scav case, which is like super rare. And I was like, don't tell Deadly. And of course, chat did. And it was hilarious because I can't give it to him. As soon as I go into raid, it's not found in raid. I can't give him the wallet. He switches over to a new game. So I'm like, all right, see you later, homie. Two raids later, I find the Dan Exert key in a jacket. So I found the only two things he needs. And then this morning, his third raid, he finds John B. Glass.
Nice karma.
Dude, it was absolute karma. It was like brutal. And then he actually found two John B. Glasses today. It was insane.
Triple karma.
But I'm just like losing my mind.
Dude, so I'm going to ask this question, and I don't want the answer because I think I already know the answer. Because there's no way that we can have our cake and eat it too. Is Marked Room and Customs still like,
it's terrible.
There's a 50% chance it's like some Makarov bullets?
Mm-hmm. With 10 uses. It's one of the rarest keys in the game, and it's only got 10 uses. And you can open it up and find like a TX-15 and 17 Makarov bullets.
Dude, it's the ultimate like fucking gacha pawn mechanic. Like,
yeah. And it's okay, the only place to find two or three items. There are still, as far as I know, there are still only three spawns, maybe four spawns, like four available spawns, and like two or three of them are weapon spawns. And so like, Well, it's always been a quest room. Like you need to, the cult part one or something, or you need to put, mark the marked circles on woods, the marked circle on, shoreline, and then the marked circle on dorms. And that's always been a quest, but,
I've always been crazy. Like, I love the idea of making the key rare.
Mm-hmm.
It makes like that's the best. And you find the key, you're like super excited. The fact that it doesn't have to be found in raid, to like use it, right? You can put it in your game and you're like, okay, take a breath, a breath of fresh air.
Yep.
A deep breath is what I meant to say. Take a deep breath and be like, okay, sick. Like, I got out. Even if I die this raid, I got something I can use. And then you get limited opening of a fucking loot crate, essentially.
Yep.
It should... But because it's so rare...
Yep. Yeah.
They have to make the loot good. Like, it has to be... There has to be, like, a... There should be no way that it can be terrible.
Yeah.
It has to be like a guaranteed minimum threshold. What they should do is just come up with like hard code, 10 or 25 different like possible combinations of things, right? You go in there and there's a wallet and the wallet always has a lab key card in it.
Yeah.
Or like, make a bunch of like themed kind of gift baskets in there, and it could be one of anything. So then... If you're excited about it, if you're looking for like the Willer's wallet, imagine if there was like a 5% chance or a 10% chance to get the room that had like the Willer's wallet with the key card in it or whatever. Then it would at least be like you basically have a 50-50 shot over the course of, 10 uses.
Yeah.
Because that's how statistics work. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not gonna check the math.
But yeah, I mean, I completely agree. It's crazy because like outside,
that's not how it works.
Outside of getting, outside of getting things you need for the collector, it's a garbage room. Does that make sense? Right now, currently, 80% of the value of the key is Willer's Wallet Jinji Keychain. Because if you remove those things from it, you get nothing. They took all the cases out of the loot pool except for the ammo case. And
wait, what about the dog tag case and the key card case and the stim case?
You can't find you can't find a stim case. I actually forgot about that. The injector case, that's a good one. But like the dog tag case is like 200, 300K. That's not that valuable for that rare of a key. The key card holder, nobody... Does anybody have an unironically used a key card holder? Like, what I'm saying is they remove the cases. You used to be able to pull, like, fridges and med cases and weapon cases. You know what I mean? Like, back in the day. And then when you found a wallet, you could get stuff in it. You know what I mean? Like, I remember finding a Willer's wallet, and there could be a blue key card, and all that stuff is gone. So now it's, like, the value is so minimal because, like, especially with only 10 uses, like, the best you can get out of it is, like, a... injector case, which is 1,000,000 rubles, which sounds like a lot, but a pogger scav raid on Lighthouse and I can get 1,000,000 rubles. You know what I mean? Or two pogger scav raids on Lighthouse and I can get 1,000,000 rubles. It just doesn't seem like the rarity of the key, and now with the reduced uses, it matches. And there's definitely no like there is no like POG moment where you're like, yo, I got, like you were saying, I got the this room and it's got like really good guns, some good ammo, and maybe an armor, and then like a cool item. You know what I mean? It's just like so much of it. I've looted it now 30 times because I have three keys. I've gone through three keys and I found a injector case. And like of the things that I sold for big money, I found an injector case and a dox case across 30 uses.
20, are the dox cases still uses. Like 200K?
Yeah, 200-300K.
Yeah.
Ugh, and the man, fee to like, put it up is 70K or 50K or whatever. Like,
yeah. Ugh, man, I wish they would revisit that. I'm sure it's like a soon TM blah, blah, blah thing. But
yeah.
Yeah. I should have listened to my gut and said I shouldn't ask the question because I already know the answer.
Yeah.
That's something that it's a no brainer. Like there's, I don't know anybody who would fucking disagree.
That's and if the they thing disagree- is that like you could like as the temporary solution, you could triple, like you could double or triple the amount of spawns in there that aren't the rare spawns for cases, but like guns and ammo, you know what I mean? Like, and put like two armor things in there. Like no one's going to be like pissed that this ultra rare key that only has 10 uses spawns six cool guns. Like,
yeah.
Like no one's going to be like, oh my God, broke the economy. Half the guns you can't sell in the flea market anyway. You can't sell Usher 25s or MDR. So it's not even like it's going to flood the market with them and drive prices down or anything, but it would just be POG to like find a SOT mod M4, a G28, an SR, a 308 MDR with a Voodoo on it, like some kitted out stuff. Then at least it's like, oh, this is pretty sick. But it's not going to do anything in the large scale to the economy, really, because guns like have a really low sell value to the traders. So it's not like people are going to make bajillions of rubles, and you can't sell most of them on the flea market. So it's just like a cool thing. You know what I mean? Like put a slick spawn in there too. That's rare. Like you have like a 5% chance to find a slick. That would be cool. Can't sell slicks on the flea market. It's not like, you know what I mean? The key's so rare that any of these changes aren't going to dramatically increase the... Like, I have a marked key, and, like, 80% of my raids, I could go to marked room with 10 minutes left in the raid, and it'll be locked. Because I have one right now. And, like, you know what I mean? So, it's, like, it's not, like, changing that and making it so it's actually, like, pretty POG. As far as weapons goes, maybe not increasing the rare spawns of cases and stuff. It's not going to have any, like, crazy long-term effects.
Make it so that there's the fucking... whatever shoots the Lapua Magnum, like Thor's fucking hammer.
Yeah,
the RSAS.
The new sniper, the Bolty, the AXMC would be a cool thing to put in there.
Or like, you know, this is something that I'm sure an intern could do over the weekend, is make like 20 pretty cool, unique gun builds. Like they hang on
literally
the wall.
An intern over a weekend, yeah.
And just talk... Make a new custom fucking loot pool thing where every time you go in there, it's going to be a gun build. Yep. They could even make it so that it's fucking named after the person who made it. It would be like a developer item, not a streamer item. Dude. Just like a cool gun build, whatever. Put it in there and then make it so that there's also a chance that you could get like a key card holder in there as well and stuff like that.
I would do that. I would do that for free in an afternoon. I would build off meta, but like semi usable builds for like all of the popular guns, like not just mutants and RDs, but like the MCX. Like, you know what I mean? Like Big Pipe has a dope MCX when you kill him. It's not meta, but it like looks cool. It looks operator AF and it's 20 durability. Put that build at 100 durability. You don't even have to hire an intern to do it. Go through all the scav bosses and take their guns, but add 100 durability and put them in. Rashala can spawn with an AK-101 that's semi-kitted. He can spawn with a 7.62 MDR with the like freaking telescope optic on it. Big Pipe can spawn with Breacher shotguns, the MCX, Bird Eye with the M4, the Rogan Raider guns. None of them are meta. None of them are like this farm for meta attachments, but they're cool. And it's not like a stock, you know, carbine carrying handle M4. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just one of those things that's like those types of changes all over the place, right? Every single map, every feature, every room, every key, everything we could have a conversation like this about.
Yeah.
And it would make the game a little bit more interesting, a little bit more unique, a little bit more nuanced. It'd make the experiences a little bit different every time. It wouldn't just be the same shit. And none of it involves content, new content.
Yeah.
It's the same shit. Just make it interesting.
A few lines of code that say this room pulls from this pool of loot from now on. Boom.
I'm sure it's probably just a fucking JSON file. It's just a JSON file. It's just first Brad, now Jason,
Jason. And like you said, I bet that they have thought about that. Like one of the reasons why they lowered the key was because someone somewhere was like, yeah, eventually we'll, you know, redo the loot. It just feels bad right now where, like, at least it used to be when you found a key, you could just keep it in your container and, like, you play customs and you'll find something over 25, you know what I mean? But, like, when they, I guess that's what's confusing is, like, when they, what were they coming after? Because Mark wasn't even too OP last wipe either. Again, same guns, same kind of.
It was the same. Like one out of every 10 is. Yeah.
But we had 25 uses, so it was weird for them to like come at the market game, reduce the uses, and seemingly make the key rarer as well as lower the uses, but then like not change the loopholes. Like I'm sure they have it in mind, but I'm just so interested as to why they didn't.
I mean, like a lot of things, I think it's just kind of like a disconnect. Like they won't change the AI to be better because they're worried about them being farmed.
Yeah.
But they will like put a bunch of janky guns, but like full of a bunch of like on the rogues and raiders, they all have like shitty guns that nobody would want to use anyway, and they'd probably not feel great, but they're all filled with mad expensive ammo, like a lot more than, you know, you get 360 round fucking P-mags full of them, or, you know, of SSAAP. And they're all full of meds and like fucking VOG grenades and all this other stuff. It just seems like a weird kind of double standard where a lot of times the things that at least the last time I talked to Nikita about this kind of stuff, the things that he would argue against for making so many other features better, he also, the same logic is used to make other features like fucking worse, like the rogues, the raiders, and
because it just seems like in a lot of ways we're just dancing around the hard solution, but it's the right solution. And like the rogues are a great example of that. Last wipe, every raid until like the last month or two, because they ended up changing this, but last wipe, every raid, all of the rogues spawned except the helicopter rogues had like a 50-50. So it was 2 on building 1, 3 on building 2, 2 on building 3. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 on top, 4 down below, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11, and then the 2 in the corner, 11, 12, 13. 13 permanently, 100% of the time. And 50% of the time, an additional 3 to 4 would spawn at the helicopter. And it was just farm. It was money. And they were like, oh, well, we'll... they're too farmable. So instead of like tweaking their AI, we'll just make that there's less of them. But like it's omega easy now as a scav or PMC to clear the whole camp in like now 2 minutes instead of 3 minutes because there are less ones to shoot at. And there's still such good loot in the thing that instead of farming their 5.5A1, I'm just twice as efficient at farming the Bitcoin spawn, the ASA spawn, the VPX spawn that's all in there. So I still get to farm. So it's like, I feel like BSG's like, well, you can't say you're farming the rogues. And it's like, yeah, but I'm still just like omega powering through acquiring wealth. You didn't change that aspect of it. You just changed instead of me acquiring wealth from the rogue loot and the crazy loot inside the water treatment plant. Now it's just, I can do the crazy loot inside the water treatment plant faster because I'm running less resistance. Instead of the hard solution when we're in the beta, which is like, how do we make the AI challenging but not farmable? And how do we do this, that, and the other? And once again, I'm not saying that that's easy. I'm not saying that that's an easy solution, but isn't this the time to be doing it? You know what I mean? Like we've had wipes with like terrible economies before. We've had the 800,000 ruble Bitcoin wipe, you know what I mean? Like you know what I mean? And then we wipe, right? That's the point, is we wipe. You can kind of break it and we're gonna wipe. So if they mess with the AI as opposed to just like reducing the amount of rogues,
I'm hoping one of these days they just come and like there's a patch and they're like, we fixed the AI, or we made a bunch of changes, because I mean I don't expect them to ever say we fixed it.
Yeah, I agree,
but be like, we made a major overhaul of version one right now, you know, because I mean, I talked to Nikita 7 months ago.
Yeah.
And I told him, yo, dog, this is a problem.
AI is whack.
People farm it. And then the people that don't min-max farm it, all the regular people who are like, I have quests where I have to kill rogues, or
and I can't I'm new, do it. I can't
I'm new
do
and
it.
I'm going to get the balls to go and try to fight. Oh, I got aimbotted through a wall. Like, that's bullshit. I was like, the stopgap is to just make them suppression through fucking volume and to make them stormtroopers for now. You know, and he basically said, don't worry.
Once we get the rogue bosses in, we're going to mess with some stuff. Which, to their credit, it's only been a few months since we've had the rogue bosses in, so maybe they're prepping that patch.
Yeah, it's been 7 months. Again, I don't know exactly how all this stuff is defined. My guess is it's a configuration file fucking somewhere.
Yeah.
It's probably JSON. They can just go through and change a couple of numbers from nines to threes.
Yeah.
And the game feels better for
I would love to see, I would love
the average
ask
player
him,
and below.
I would love to ask him if there's not a reason. So I predicted this, and I'm not like smart. You predicted this too. You've said this probably even longer than I've said it. But in my little world, I had been saying for the past few wipes, I was like, it's like every wipe, the fuse until we hear the first, hey, when's wiped? You know when the wipe is? Gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter because the lion's share of the player base have played more and more wipes. They get better at the game. It's easier for them to do the quests and they get bored a little bit faster. You know what I mean? Whether this is your third wipe or your 13th wipe, everybody kind of moves in unless there's some major thing that pushes us back, which sometimes can be a map, but most of the time.
I feel like it almost evens itself out a little bit where a bunch of new players come in at the same time that like the veterans.
There's
I don't know
always,
what the percentage
there's
is.
There's
but
new players, but like when you think about the vocal community, the ones that are on Twitter, the ones that are in chats, most of the time are the ones that have played at least a few wipes. There's always going to be new players every wipe for sure. But I'm already feeling that. We're 2 months in, right? We're 2 months and 8 days into the wipe, okay? Not even what you'd call halfway, and people have been asking about why. People have been saying they're bored. You know what I mean? I get it. And I would love to, like, talk to Nikita, or at least just ask him the thought process around, like, why they don't get to, like, maybe a month from now, 6 weeks from now, and then just start, like, going crazy with the dials. Because you know what I mean? Like everybody gets to this place. Like, why not just be like, yo, we messed with the AI. Let us know how it feels. You know what I mean?
Here's the answer to that. And the answer is there's so many things. We are thinking about a bunch of very specific things that, you know, I say we like semi-inclusive, but like think about it on the day-to-day basis. And Nikita's not the one playing, not the one changing all of these dials. He doesn't know who am I going to ask? What should I change? How should I do it? Do I listen to these content creators? Do I listen to these people? There's so many things. Some people are going to hate it. Some people are going to cry regardless of whether it's good or bad. They just are going to be mad.
For sure.
And it's overwhelming. So that's why I think Nikita's probably just like, ugh. His answer to like, why not would be because there's a lot of other shit I want to focus my attention on. And even though like if we could fucking convince him that dedicating 50% of his brain power to doing these kinds of things that are there to improve the game, whether it's user experience things, whether, you know, like fucking the quick sell feature or whatever, like that is going to lead to like a happier player base. And potentially, it's hard to say, but there's a world in which doing those kinds of things makes more people play and give feedback. And
100%.
It has a better, it like harvests or cultivates a better, more positive community that works better with them. And you end up with a better game faster.
Yeah.
Is where I was going to go with all that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I understand that it's a slippery slope. Because the thing is, like, I don't necessarily think that my opinion is, holds a whole lot of weight to Nikita or the BSG team as one single player. But I'm at least trying to put my mind in the shoes of a developer and a development team. It seems like tweaking the dials, having 30, 40, 50,000 consecutive players over the course of maybe a 3 or 4 day weekend mess with that stuff. They don't even necessarily have to like look at the opinions or the mods on Twitter or the Reddits. They're getting like data. How many people normally die to scavs? How many people died to scavs this week? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering, you know what I mean? Like, it still feels like it would be valuable to, like, you know what I mean? They do those tweets. They do those really emotionless tweets. Tomorrow, we are going to be installing a technical update. The website will be down for 3 hours. We apologize for any inconvenience. They tweet those tweets. It's literally seas and oceans of salt and mold underneath. They never respond. They do their technical patch. Like, just be like, hey, we're changing the AI and how they behave a little bit for the next 3 days. Just ignore the sea of mold and salt and then do the thing and get the data. And just like, I feel like, I don't know.
Why would you take your car through the car wash if at some point in the future you're now, this is unstated, but you are being way too optimistic, but you know, maybe a month or two from now, I'm going to get a whole new body with a whole new paint job.
Yeah.
And fast forward, you haven't gotten the new car or the new paint job, and it's been 5 years and your car is still covered in mud. But I'm not gonna take the car to the car wash now.
But is the new paint job,
I'm going car shopping this weekend. Don't worry about it.
Paint job in this analogy, like the new AI system.
It's fucking literally every single feature. There's like, why would he wanna fix any of the individual quests to make them a little bit better when they're doing a new quest system? Why would he want to fix any of the tweaking of the knobs of any of the parameters on the bots when they want to rewrite the bots to use different knobs? Why are they gonna, and it's like that forever.
I know, but I would love to, once again, I'm not stating that I know. I'm saying I'd love to ask the questions to whoever's in charge of this stuff at Battlestate Games. My answer to that is like, but doesn't it inform? Doesn't changing the knobs of the AI now, even if you're building a new system, inform how that system should be built? Doesn't...
But they're already 30% of the way through. They're already a year into... They've got Jira boards full of... and whiteboards and sticky notes full of design work and code that's already been written. It's just 20% done. Probably, yeah. They probably have a bunch of design stuff that they did 6 months ago that they haven't gotten around to, or that they're already part of the way through building.
Yeah.
So feedback is pointless. Why would they want feedback about a tweaked old system? Even if the feedback is good, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate.
For sure.
I know the answers to these questions, and the answers are because they can fucking learn how to do things like well. But I'm back in the, on the side of, I understand why they're making all the bad decisions that they're making. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
If I put my head to where I think, and I'm, you know, part of this is just made up. Part of it is informed by my experience. Part of it is, you know, but
I guess that
I hate that I can kind of understand and kind of justify all of the bad decisions.
No.
If I put myself in the world where I have where I don't know the state of the game and how it feels to play it, and I have all of these other plans and all these other ideas.
And what you're saying is very understandable and measured. And here's the thing. It's like, if you're right that they already have a vision and the whiteboard and they've worked it out and they went internally, they were like, old current system bad. How can we make it better? Here's the vision. Here's the stuff. And then they started working on it and they're 20 to 30% of the way through that. If that is the case, I would actually completely agree and B team, right now is not the time for feedback. It's just, I don't know that they're there. The average player definitely doesn't know that they're there. So that's where I'm like, dude, why don't you just like change things and see? So if that's where they are, then I actually agree with you. Then I can understand why they wouldn't want that feedback. But it's just like,
Nikita had that on his dream vision board 5 years ago, though. That's the problem, is that he already has like his vision.
Exactly.
And it's like, I don't know.
I just don't know. You definitely couldn't expect the newer players to know that that's being worked on. If it is,
you know what
I mean? And once again, well, I was going to say this earlier. You know what I mean? It definitely feels like they're, at least with a lot of the stuff they've been talking about, that they're very just like, get to the other end of some of these things and then we'll go back and balance. You know what I mean? Get to the end of the core pillars. You know, like every time he gets asked about, like, you know, what are you guys working on? What are you this? And he's like, we're working on storyline quests. We're working on streets. We're working on all these things that he has been pretty consistently saying over the past few years, that like, these are the three or four pillars, the last few ones that prop up the beginning to end Escape from Tarkov experience. And if internally they're like, let's just get through these things, get them up, and then we'll go back and we'll, like, you know, like, go through the experience top to bottom. You know, that's kind of like, you know, a lot of what trips up Star Citizen a lot of the times is it's hard for them to press forward and accomplish new things because they're like constantly rebalancing ships, and then a new ship comes in. And so, like, actually a great example of, like, if you're frustrated that the Mutant and the 762 BP meta has been in for so long, go play Star Citizen for a few years. You know what I mean? Like, they'll get the ships to a balanced state and then they'll add a ship and that ship is OP. And then nerfing that ship makes this ship too good. And then it's just like, there's so much time spent like rebalancing the ships around this meta. And then they just add another ship and it happens again and again and again. And so, like, if that's the thought process, I can be frustrated, but understand it, where they're just like, let's power through these last few pillars and then balance the thing as a whole. Let's ice the whole cake and not ice the slice that is baked. You know what I mean? But It's just hard to tell. Once again, it's just like, I always can empathize with the average player that would never know, you know what I mean, where we are in the baking process of the cake.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, before I forget, I got to point out. So Overcast22 said, I think probably the most, it might be one of the best quotes I've ever heard about fucking video games, especially Tarkov, ever. Where was it? God, it was so good. Like, stop the presses. We have to talk about it. All right. Exploits are the, quote, get good of Tarkov, where Dark Souls games, it's usually about skill and true understanding of mechanics. Exploits are the get good of Tarkov.
Yeah.
Like, he mentioned that when we were talking about the rogues.
Yeah.
Like, exploit them. That's how you, quote, get good.
Nothing's wrong with them. Get good. Learn how Jiggle to exploit
peek, them. You know, jump around and use the bunny hops and the peeker's advantage and the whatever. Like,
also,
wow, that's such a great phrase. Fucking exploits are the get good of Tarkov. I should put that on a fucking t-shirt.
Yep.
I had to stop. There's not a whole lot to add there, but wanted to. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've got a few things on my list. I don't know if and what things you want to talk about. I don't want to.
I mean, nothing really. I mean, like, the only, like, newsworthy thing is, like, nice guy did a video that apparently there was like a, it wasn't really like a banned wave. Apparently, like, I watched the video again. They were getting a bunch of reports on the cheater front that people who they were able to identify purchased carries or purchased gear, the receiver of a lot of that gear, were getting banned, hardware ID banned. And some of them, the reports through the community, and then some people that were getting temp banned, when their accounts came back, their accounts were wiped. And so he made this little video about, like,
get fucked, cheaters.
Kind of. But it was like, he was saying that, like, this is the first time, at least it seems, we see them going for the buyers, not the sellers. And if that, like, cheaters will always figure out how to cheat. But if people are much more scared to buy from the cheaters, then that is just like, it's a noteworthy thing. Nice guy in the video wasn't like, this is the end, no more cheaters in Tarkov. He was not like that. He was just like, something happened and we're having a bunch of people bubbling up saying that people who purchased carries were getting hardware ID banned and getting their accounts reset if they were getting temp banned. So I don't know if that's a thing that's happening all the time. I don't know if that's 100%. I don't know if they were testing it. I don't know how accurate it is. I have no opinion on the matter, but it was just something that was noteworthy that seems at least to make sense in my little seven brain cell brain that if you cut them off at the pass, so, it could be effective.
All I know is from the little blurb that I forget now, like I couldn't quote it or anything from Nice Guy's video, but my feeling is of hesitation and skepticism. I want to know, part of it is just ignorance. I haven't like looked at, how do they know? How does anyone know? Are we getting this information from cheater forums? How the fuck do they know that people are purchasing carries and not just going in with their buddies or their streamer friends? Or it's to me like that is such a fucking slippery slope around hardware ID banning somebody for purchasing a carry. So you're talking about, how would Battle State know that somebody paid?
Yeah.
Unless they're doing some, like, you have to tell me you're a cop undercover bullshit.
Yeah.
How would they know that you paid somebody to take you through a game and that the person was cheating and there's no way that it could have been, like, just look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there was a guy that was cheating and a bunch of people that were going in and getting carries from this guy.
Yeah.
Let's say they were able to statistically correlate that all of these people never played with this guy before, all at the same time and date, all sent him a friend request, all went in, whatever. Okay, let's say they all did it. Great, they all got hardware ID banned. But then tell me what system they have in place to distinguish between the fact that then after his long day of carrying people, this cheater guy goes, hey, Tom, for my seventh grade class, you want to come play Tarkov with me? And he goes, plays with them, and then that kid gets banned. I'm skeptical that they can know what they need to know to do it, let alone do it without any false bans. When we know that they false banned people for hardware ID cheating, which is something, sorry, not hardware ID, but like actual software running on the computer, which is something you can know and they get it wrong.
Yeah. Listen, I'm
when they get shit wrong that they can know, how can they?
But I don't know that I'm not. And you're not saying this either. I don't know that it's necessarily impossible. It's just I don't know how to do it either. I mean, it legitimately could be as simple as like they, like you were saying, they find people that are cheating, and instead of banning them, if they feel like they're RMT, they almost like use them. They just like if they can identify like this would be a person that we have what we would ban. And they just like leave them up and then ban the people that join in off them.
Ban anybody that plays with them.
Well, no, I mean, like, couldn't you look at his character screen? Couldn't you look at the raid and be like, this is a known cheater. Everybody in the raid died except for this guy and this guy. They got this much, like, I don't know what stats they see on the back end, but wouldn't it not be unreasonable to think that they could kind of like figure out he was cheating in that raid?
Well, no, but that's not what we're talking about. What is unreasonable is to say, based on how one player played,
you bet another
player gave money to him for that, the way he played.
Yeah,
it's bullshit. There's no way they can. And please, by all means, provide evidence. Anybody in the comment section, to prove me wrong. Show me how something that to me seems philosophic, unless they're scraping PayPal accounts, I don't understand how they could.
No, I don't know.
I just, that's like power I don't want to give to the company to say you paid $150 for a game, and because you queued with someone
who puts you at
risk of getting your PC. Unable to play the game anymore. That's kind of fucked up and actually kind of makes me mad. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. It seems like I'm in the minority, I guess. Some people in chat disagree with me. I don't know.
Well,
but
I don't disagree with you. I just like, and I think you would agree that that's not necessarily the only option. Like, The reality is you don't know how they're doing. Okay, the reality is, A, we don't even know if this is really true, right? Because like you were saying earlier, how are we figuring this out? Secondly, we don't know how they're doing it. We're saying the only way I can think of the way they're doing it is they would do it this way. And if they're doing it this way, that could be weird.
There's no way. There's no way. There's no conceivable way that they could, unless they had information that they shouldn't have, like legally or ethically.
Yeah.
There's no way that they should be able to know that you paid somebody else for a service. Now, people are saying, well, what if they're undercover? Well, then why are they accepting money from people? Yeah, That's another thing, too.
I don't think they're paying people to go undercover and sell cheats.
Don't they use BattleEye? Does BattleEye know?
Yeah.
Someone in chat just said, don't they use BattleEye? Does BattleEye scrape my Gmail to read my PayPal receipts?
Then
link it to the other person to know? No. I never say absolutes, which is the greatest ironic thing. That was intentional, by the way, everyone who doesn't understand the irony. But I cannot think of one possible way that they could prove without a reasonable doubt, to the extent that you would basically break my PC from being able to play the game legitimately and take away the money that I spent on the game. Yeah. There's no way that they could prove with the amount of certainty that I think would be ethical for them to do that, to demonstrate that somebody paid for a carry.
Yeah.
RMT is a little bit fuzzier because it's like, if you're constantly getting things dropped to you over and over and over and over and over again, that comes down to the people should probably know better. But then at the same time, you know, is it in the EULA? I don't know. Maybe the TOS, I don't know who the fuck reads it. Maybe they should make it clear that, you know, if they go ahead and do it once, that they get a message saying you have been flagged. If this ever happens again, you'll be permanent. So then that person's like, I'm never taking anything from anybody ever again.
Yeah.
Right. But could they review the VoIP? People aren't.
No,
if they're buying carries, they're not VoIPing there. Yeah, hey.
So there's a red key card in their side of the door there, and I'm going to go ahead and kill these three people with my aimbots. Here's my in-game name and my PayPal account. Thanks for sending me the $25 for the carry, man, stevesmith@gmail.com.
They're doing it on Discord. They're doing it on Discord.
Yeah, there's no fucking way. Please, by all means, somebody come up with a way that they can know for certain.
Yeah.
And here's the test. Anytime anybody wants to argue or debate about things like this, fairness, and the same thing happens with like freedom of speech and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you're not putting a rod on your own back with any of these things.
Yeah.
Imagine you go and play the game in some way. Maybe you play with somebody, maybe not, whatever. And then you get the email saying your account was banned.
Yeah.
Your account's gone and your PC is hardware ID banned and you're not a cheater, so you don't have like hardware ID spoofing shit. And then imagine, what recourse do you have? You have no recourse. They're not going to review anything. You can't go through BattleEye because it's not a BattleEye thing. This is a BSG thing. So you're just not going to get your money back and there's no appeal.
Man, I can't find it right now. But they might be in chat. I can't remember who it was because I can't find it right now. But in my one of my Twitch mods was playing Tarkov, I believe yesterday or the day before. They ran into somebody in game and they like VoIPed and it was like, hey, like, do you want to like, we don't have to do this violently. And they were like, okay, cool. And then they extracted together and they were talking on the way out and they were like, you want to queue up for the next one together? And I was like, yeah, sure. And in the second raid, the dude admitted to cheating. And so in that situation, my mod would have queued in with somebody who has his account flagged for cheating maybe, or has cheats on, maybe radar on, but he hadn't told, you know, my buddy that he had radar on or something like that. So it's not like that's like a way fringe case. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not crazy to think that people would queue in with cheaters who didn't know that that person was cheating.
Dude, how many people I've never done this before, but every time I'm playing Tarkov, whether it's in my Discord or my Twitch chat or on the forums or whatever, there's always people like, anybody want a queue? Imagine the power you would wield as a cheater doing RMT to effectively
get somebody banned.
Fucking scorched earth. Everybody that ever queues in with you, they're all just like fucking, oh, that I hope it's wrong. I hope it's fake news, because I have too much of a dystopian view on the whole battle state cheater ban, everything being fucking great and nobody ever getting treated unfairly or whatever. No, I have no faith in that system.
I don't have an opinion one way or the other, because I know nothing about it. It was just something that I saw.
Yeah, I hope that for all of you reasonable folks listening, don't think I'm trying to be negative for the sake of being negative. Like, this is a genuine, actual...
Yeah.
I feel more passionately about this than fucking basically anything else in the game. I don't care what the fuck they do for balancing. I don't care what they do about AI.
Yeah.
This is more important to me than anything, when you fuck with people's money.
People would see you as negative right up until the moment that, like, you know, maybe 3 weeks into a wipe, they get banned and they've never played with a cheater. You know, all of a sudden that, like, you're being unreasonable, let them just ban the cheaters, that would go away. You know what I mean? Like, if they got banned, if they got hardware ID banned, or even if it was a temp ban and their account got freaking fried, like, it wouldn't be funny anymore. So, like, that, when it just comes out, we talk about this all the time. Logic and reason aren't sexy, because oftentimes we get labeled by both sides of the argument as on the other side, right? If you listen to this podcast, you might think that we think that BSG shouldn't do anything about the cheaters because they're doing this and you think it's terrible. But if you listen to three podcasts ago, you might think the opposite. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like,
do something about the cheaters.
Exactly. Yeah. We're just trying to, like, take any information that we have. And that's the thing. That's why I keep trying to qualify, because, like, I want to make sure you all know that we're dealing with very limited information. I saw a video from a guy who said that he heard this kind of stuff bubbling up through the stuff. So, like, don't crucify Battlestate Games or your opinion of them, because I don't even know if any of this is true, but it's something that came up. We talked about it. If it is true, this is how we'd respond. It would be kind of terrifying for people who queue up with cheaters all the time. That doesn't mean we don't want anything to be done to cheaters. We just, like, don't want collateral damage to just be like, oh yeah, dude, just ban everyone and you'll ban the cheaters eventually. Like,
I also want to take a step back, because I vaguely recall, usually I have, like, one of those 1, 2, 3 minute news videos when I'm, like, brushing my teeth about to get in the shower, you know, on my laptop in, like, the next room. I vaguely recall Nice Guy saying, or at least if you would ask me what my recollection was, I would have said that RMTers for, like, items were the ones that were banned somehow. A bunch of people got banned for, like, item RMT, and I could have sworn he said something at the end that was like, so people who thought that if they wouldn't do this, then they would move to carries.
I don't know.
Fuck, I don't know.
I watched the video a few days ago when it came out too, so I'm not sure.
Go watch Nice Guy's video. Give him the fucking ad revenue. Subscribe. Show him some love. Don't take our words for it, because we're just sort of paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But my whole rant was about the conceptual idea of, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're doing it, but I cannot think of a way in which they could do the thing that they may or may not be doing. So caveat emptor there.
Because it makes sense in my brain. If you know, we found, you know, a 100% way to find out that people were purchasing, that makes sense in my brain. You know what I mean? Those are the people who are less committed to it, most likely. So if you can get them, then people will be more scared to buy and there'd be less cheaters. So I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But the problem is you have to get to 100%, or else you get really, really unfortunate situations. And so it was interesting. I'd never heard that perspective before. I had never heard of somebody trying to do that before. But then, through our conversation, it's just like, once again, it's a little bit more complicated than that, because
Yeah, and I think I totally agree with you. And now I'm on the flip side of the flip side of the flip side, which is I actually don't think you need 100%. It all depends on what you define. If BattleEye can detect that cheatengine.exe is running on your computer, even if you're not using it in game, even if you've never used it for Tarkov and never plan to, that is you aren't 100% cheating at Tarkov.
Yeah.
But I think once you install Cheat Engine on your computer, then you're opening up yourself to get banned by fucking anything with an anti-cheat.
Yeah.
Even though Cheat Engine has legitimate uses for doing things like tool-assisted speedruns, doing things like development, you know, whatever. But so it's not necessarily like things that are complicated and nuanced.
Yeah.
You can't boil down into fucking one
statement,
seven-word sentence. So it has to just be, you got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they are cheating or have cheated.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, whatever. But again, I just wanted to get that out of the way too, that I thought that maybe the 100% thing was.
Yeah. I guess I was talking about this scenario where you're having to prove somebody wasn't cheating, but somebody purchased something from a cheater. That you kind of need closer to 100% because there is no.
All right, who's the PayPal CEO?
You know what I mean? Like,
unless you're Dan Schulman,
yeah.
currently the president of PayPal. And everybody puts, you know, imagine getting a receipt for like, hey, thanks for my $20 worth of crack cocaine. I got a receipt, you know? And, oh, God. Fucking fence guy would chase you down.
Fence guy's coming for you. All right, so enough about the cheater stuff. What was some of the stuff? I saw you were doing more science or sus.
I did some science or sus.
Dude, all the rounds in Tarkov have so much overpen. It's crazy.
Oh, God.
I did watch the video. It was great.
Did you read the comments?
No.
Dude, it's amazing how many of the comments were basically being like, restating the intro, being like, these are all the misconceptions, and people are like, overpenetration to me is the misconception that you talked about and debunked four times, and it's like, oh God, fuck, oh Jesus. But you know, then the vast majority of people were like, thank God, you know, I can finally have something to point to try to put this to bed. But that prompted the next round, which I have not done my full analysis, but I've done all the testing.
Okay.
What I have to do is go through the video and pull up my simulations and then look through all of the math and run the numbers on everything. But what I did was to try to figure out some like baseline heuristics, rules of thumb for bullets penetrating different objects in the game.
Oh, okay.
So I tested like 15 different things. From like the red doors in Shoreline to the brown doors on Customs to the rebar doors, you know, for example, I tested those three to see if there were any differences because some people thought that the rebar doors might be different or whatever. I tested a couple of the chain link fences. I tested the like second floor interchange glass, a barrier, like with the railing to see like, you know, how bullets go through there. I tested Kiba glass. I tested all the different ways of, can you pen one PMC's ankle into another PMC's arm, one PMC's ankle into their other ankle, their through their arm into their chest. How many, I tested how many PMC's could you kill with a single bullet?
Oh my God. How many collats?
Yeah.
Did you test the underground reserve, the like food, you know, the four keys under reserve that have the different like food stuff?
No, that's on my list. So after I did all that testing, I had the fun reminder of the, oh, well, you tested these seven fences, but what about this fence is different?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think what I'm going to end up doing is being like, here's some baseline average stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to say that like the interchange tree behaved the same as like the customs trees. For yeah. example, I tested the trees, which were actually the most interesting of all of the ones. Second interesting. And then I basically said there's a million edge cases that are all going to be special and magical. I'm never going to be able to do them all.
Yeah.
If there are any like particularly egregious ones that people really want me to test and debunk, I'll do in another video.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many fucking, if I test 50 doors, someone's going to say, yeah, but you didn't test the door in this building on Lighthouse expansion, you know? So
oh, yeah, I only ask because that's the one I hear about the most. Is the Underground Reserve things, but there's way too many surfaces.
Yeah, Desmond had mentioned that one to me. Also, the chain link fence outside of Interchange, I think, like maybe by the go karts, people have said thing. Is different. I don't know. I'm torn whether or not I'm gonna go back and fucking
test these. It's so many things to test, dude.
But what I think I'm gonna be able to do, looking at. Because what I had was I had four testers come in each raid with me, screen share on Discord, and then I'd capture that. And in the upper right hand corner, I'd have all four of their health screens at once. And I'd go like, shoot, 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 shoot. And I could see like 22 damage, 22 damage, 22 damage. Oh, that was a fragment. You know, like I go through and compare. I should be able to, I think, come up with kind of like a little mini model for, oh, the trees are like class 3 armor. Kind of. You can kind of think about it like that. So there's some interesting stuff there. I don't know exactly what the answer to all those questions are. You'll have to watch my video. I think I'll probably finish it in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
But the one... Do I want to spoil the... There's one thing that's completely and utterly... broken in all the worst ways, like borderline exploitable.
Spill the tea, Veritas.
You'll have to watch the video because I'll say it, but there's some nuance there that makes it really interesting. But these are the interesting bits. And if you're listening to this, go watch my video, please, because there's more. I don't think that this is a substitution. Please give this me the ad revenue. Please. So Kiba Glass is unpenetrable by anything. It wasn't always. It's gone back and forth. Trees are really interesting in that it seems like there's a threshold.
Interesting.
Where... You know, like if something is class 3 armor and something has 30 pen, right? You know that it's going to be like a 92% or 95 whatever percent chance of it penetrating. Or if it was 20 pen versus class 3, then it's like a 10% ish chance. All of the surfaces in the game seem to be like that, including like doors. So like if you have a wooden door and you use like blue tips, if you just shoot through the door and look on the wall, it's like one out of every five is going to actually go through.
Interesting.
I don't know how much damage absorption, you know, there is yet, but trees are different in that under a certain threshold, it'll never penetrate. And it's like 20, it's like 26 or 27. I still have level 1 traders, so I can't fucking buy, you know, I can't buy the ammo. And I don't know if there even is an ammo at like the whatever. I tested like 27 and I tested 25 pen or.
Yeah.
There's somewhere in the middle there where it's like 25, 26, 24, somewhere there where your bullets just won't pen trees at all.
Interesting.
Like 9mm PST, you can go all day long, shoot through a tree. No, it will never go through the tree. But if you have like 7.62 PS, you'll hit through the tree like 80% of the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like the bullets, it doesn't look like they like go through off like a different trajectory or anything. It just looks like they completely stop.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. And it didn't appear that, you know, like the tree is round, right? So you might think if you hit it like on the right side, it's thinner.
Yeah.
So it'll either go through easier or it'll get deflected to the right. It doesn't look like anything.
That makes sense.
It might as well just be like a rectangular flat, whatever.
Minecraft
when they do the calculations. Yeah. But as far as I can tell, this is like the only way I can make sense of it and describe it in a way that makes sense. Dead bodies are basically like class 100 armor, where if you happen to shoot through like the basic tiny little edge of like their pant leg, like pants, and hit a PMC, they'll take blunt damage as if it was like plastics armor. So like if you were looting somebody and your head was like overlapping with like the dead person's knee, if you like shoot the knee and it hits their head, they'll go like, oh, and they'll take like 2 damage.
Interesting.
With like the best, like with
M62 or M61.
Lapua Magnum AP.
That's crazy.
So, but if you just shoot them directly on into like a leg or an arm or whatever, it's completely impenetrable. Like, you have to really line up a thread the needle through their knees of their body, and you have like the head right in the middle, and you hit it. They'll moan in pain and they'll take like 2 damage, no matter what the pen is. But yeah, they're basically fucking impenetrable. So I have clips of like piles of bodies. And I'm just like, bah, 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 with like my AP and 995 and SSAP. And I'm just loading, unloading, unloading. And all of a sudden you see like a fast MT go like whoop, out the side. Like,
oh,
nope, didn't take
any
damage.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking busted. That's and I told amazing. Nikita and he, I forget what he said. It was like 2 words, but it was like, oh, I didn't know.
Interesting.
He said, we'll check. I basically told him, like, listen, there's no collision on the ragdolls. Like, once they die, their body doesn't have collision, like, with the PMCs anymore. But they have all the collision with bullets.
When it comes to bullets. That's
the same,
so interesting.
Yeah, and there is another twist or two there that you'll watch the video for.
Yeah.
That makes it so that it's like a big asterisk next to that that you want to keep in mind.
That's interesting, man.
Yeah, so
very interesting.
And on that topic, just because I've been looking into all this penetration, you know, whatever, one of the comments on the overpen video, which was like the quintessential I didn't understand the video. I actually want to read it because I want to address part of it. Where is the guy who said the thing? Damn it, now I'm not going to be able to find it in real time. But he basically said there is such a thing as overpen because look at a bullet like SSA AP 556, which if you pull up the wiki, he basically said it's always going to overpen because it has more pen than you'll ever need.
What does that mean? Like, what does he mean by overpen in that sentence?
If
he just thinks that like a round with 31 pen shooting class 3 armor has overpen, then he's just like, okay, you're just assigning random definitions to random words. But if he thinks that like damage is getting lost or anything, yeah, it's like he just didn't understand the video.
No, he doesn't think the damage is being. There's a lot of people that had this really bizarre. I couldn't understand it. This really bizarre idea that you're gonna like fucking hindsight. Oh, I have all this leftover AP that I'm like, you bought too much milk and it's gonna go to waste before you can use it. You know, kind of thing. Okay, I found the comment. She said, Sounds like your issue is that the community doesn't have one definition of overpenetration. I mean,
as stated in the video,
I literally said, here's my fucking issue. And there's seven of them. And that was one of them. And he says, and I'm still going to say that SSAP rounds overpen, semicolon, you don't see a whole lot of those, regardless of what you say, because in my opinion, they do. Interesting evidence.
No, that's verbatim. I'm going to say they overpen regardless of what you say, because I believe that they do.
Yes, I'm still going to say that SSAAP rounds overpen regardless of what you say, because IMO, they do. Okay, interesting.
Nice.
Says, there's nothing in the game that requires the amount of damage slash pen that round has when compared to other calibers in that category. So it has too much penetration compared to damage, making it a weaker round than 9.95 or 8.55A1 overall. Okay. So,
trust me, bro.
Now, what surprised me was that the stats weren't even like that. I've naturally like don't think I've ever even used SSAAP, mostly because it's like super rare and I've just never really been like a meta ammo guy. Okay, so when you look at 8.55A1, it has 44 pen.
Mm-hmm.
9.95 is 53 pen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, already it's like, well, 53 pen is still, I forget the exact math, but I don't know, maybe like 20% chance or to something, or to pen.
A class six.
Like a fort.
Yeah.
So already it's like, well, it still has potentially some left to be desired, right? Now, SSAAP is 57. So it's four more pen. So it's not like it's that much overpen.
Yeah, wow, that's...
quote, unquote. But it does 38 damage. So it's four less damage than 9.95, which probably is... there's probably a world where it matters, but probably the vast majority of the time, those extra 4 points of damage aren't going to change the time to kill.
Most likely. There are definitely times it would, but like...
yeah, I mean, you what you need to do is the fucking, for those math computer science nerds, the modulo operator. Basically, like, if you're going to do... If the shots to kill is, like, 3.7, at the end of the day, it's different. There's no different than 3.6, 3.5, 3.4, 3.3, 3.2,
yeah,
3.1.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. You're, dude,
if it's
going to
take three
right.
shots or four shots, like, there's so many multiplications of these numbers yeah. that don't matter, it's still enough to kill, right? Because you only need to black it out and then hit it one more time or whatever for it to die.
Yeah.
So, but here's my problem, is that it misses something that even I haven't gotten into, I've known about, and it's been in the back of my head forever, but I just haven't really talked about, because I know it's so... It's going to be impossible for me to fucking explain. Not the situations that I'm going to explain, but oh god, how do I explain it? Like, we all know that, oh, there's like a 10% chance to pen, you know, if it's one armor class higher than the 10 or the 10 pen of the bullet, like all those yeah. little heuristics. But it's easy to like memorize a bunch of those little things, but it's impossible unless you have a calculator to get a innate yeah. understanding of, well, how many shots is it going to take to kill? You need to iterate yeah. through and go like, well, how much damage?
100%.
You picture it in your... it's
and a
so
great example of that is when people are like, dude, I just got freaking one tapped in my Alton with M80. It's like, do you understand like what, when you look at those like percentages, like do you understand what a percentage is? It's like if M80 has a 14% chance to pen an Alton on a first shot, that means 14 out of your 100 Altons that get hit are going to get one tapped. Like they are
roll
so mad.
Roll a D8. Yeah. Roll a D8. And if you guess the number right, then you're the unlucky
yeah.
one and you
get,
die.
Dude, they get so mad. They're like, what? That should never happen. I'm like, dude, it won't happen often. It could happen to you two times in a row. That's how statistics work. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny to me. It's so funny.
Yeah, so imagine just a simple thing like one bullet versus helmet, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't take into consideration what I have looked at this stuff so much that I have a decent innate understanding
yeah,
of this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the most part, every now and then it's there's some nuance there that I'm like, oh, I was a little bit wrong. But then when I think about it, the math yeah. makes sense and everything. But imagine a guy's wearing fort armor.
Mm-hmm.
You're wearing both wearing full level six fucking everything. You're both like gods, right?
Yeah.
You've got your HKs, and one person has 995, one person has SSAAP.
Yeah.
What people don't consider is, imagine, you know, you ADS and you're shooting center mass.
Yeah.
What's the most likely thing you're going to hit with bullet number one?
Like thorax, right?
I would say probably the left arm.
Oh yeah. Because
it's always right out in the fucking way.
ADS. Yeah.
So if you hit their left arm, think about what's going to happen there. The bullet hits the fort armor, pens that.
Yeah.
So step one, the penetration and the damage of the bullet get reduced as they go through the armor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Step number two, the armor's durability goes down a little bit. Step number three, the diminished bullet hits their arm.
Yeah.
And does damage. Let's ignore fragmentation here. It does the damage. Step number four, when the bullet goes through three, for those of you playing the home game, don't pay attention to step numbers. Step F, the bullet hits the arm and has its pen and damage reduced a little bit.
Yeah.
The next step, the bullet pens the chest, which is, it pens the fort armor.
Yeah.
Which is, the fort armor's durability decreases, the damage and the pen of the bullet go down a little bit, yeah. And then it hits the chest and then does damage to the chest. There's potentially four or even more rolls of the dice around how much damage,
yeah.
And what's the chance to pen. And every one of those, every layer, there's these diminishing returns on the stats.
Yeah.
So having 57 pen when class 6 armor exists, and you might have to pen, one bullet might have to pen the arm and the armor twice.
Yeah.
So three pens. I think that it's not unreasonable to say I'll take four less damage per bullet to have a noteworthy percent increased chance of,
yeah,
essentially hitting them twice.
The difference between 995 and SSAAP, direct shot to a Zabralo.
Wait, is this directly to the thorax or is this like center mass?
Directly to the thorax.
Are you using my simulation?
Yeah.
My simulation does not take into consideration penetration through limbs.
No, I know. Well, I pulled this up way earlier. We were talking and we've just like arrived at this. I'm just saying like the difference there, going back to what you were saying, where like he says SSAAP is like crazy overpen. Like 995 has a 24% chance to pen a Zabralo and SSAAP has a 55%. Where's the goddang overpen? You know what I mean? Like, what, you know, like 55, it's a coin flip. It's just better than a coin flip on a direct hit. Not
but you're
accounting
thinking about
for,
it wrong.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're thinking about it wrong though, because, and this is satire, but but I never come across people wearing Zabralos. I only ever come across people wearing class 3 armor.
Yeah.
So that means,
means it's overpen.
It overpens them. Like it overpens,
yeah,
situationally, as if like they can make a statement about a bullet without context.
Mm-hmm.
But by definition, in order for them to justify it, they need to put it in context.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, if you get to put it in a context where it quote unquote overpens, which again, watch my fucking video,
yep,
if you want to know why I hate that. Well, then there are just as many scenarios where, you know, I can manufacture where it doesn't quote unquote
exactly
overpen, but they'll throw all that out. They'll throw the whole conversation out the window because they just want you to agree. They want me to agree. If I have a bullet that does 50 pen,
mm-hmm,
and they are wearing no armor, then all 50 of that is overpen.
Overpen,
it's,
yeah,
it's wasted penetration. It's like the analogy I gave some guy, and it wasn't the perfect analogy because it involved purchasing things, in which case, like, you could kind of make an analogy to, like, spending money in Tarkov. So the analogy got a little bit muddled,
yeah,
and he didn't really get it, and it was the first time in a long time I had to say, I'm walking away from this conversation. You're like, we're banging our heads against the wall.
Just
But the analogy I gave was basically like you, the way that he talks about overpen, the way that, that these people use the term overpen in this context is, again, analogy. The point of this analogy, before I say it, is I want the other person on the other side of the argument to understand not why his argument is wrong or whatever, but I want him to understand what it's what it feels like, sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to know like why I hate the word, because and here's why. It's like as if you were to go to the store, you go to buy a $20 candy bar. Sorry. Fuck my brain. you go to buy a $1 candy bar, and you have a $20 bill. You hand it to the cashier, and he gives you back $19 change in the candy bar, and you walk out. If I heard somebody say that he was mad at the $20 bill for being over, for like overbuying.
Yeah.
That's the way it sounds to me. Yeah. Now, everybody's logical like next step after that is, well, your analogy is wrong because what happens is you give him $20 and he gives you the candy bar and he gives you no change.
Yeah.
But the thing is that like you're not like penetration is not a resource that you've like
exactly that you spend or anything.
Well, but I spent extra for the extra penetration. Well, then, so what? Your problem isn't the extra penetration.
Yeah.
By itself, imagine yourself in a scenario where you had two bullets. A bullet that was perfectly suited for the situation. And then the same bullet that had 800 billion penetration.
Yeah.
Why is the second scenario upset you?
Yeah.
It's the same bullet. They killed the guy.
Yeah. The thing is that
the
like...
The problem is the... The under damage, call it under damage if you want.
Yeah.
If you shoot a bullet and they don't die, your problem is under damage.
Yeah.
It's not over pen. It's under damage.
Yeah. No, for real. And what's weird is that like nobody wants a round with 100 flesh and 100 pen, but people keep arguing. Like the argument is proof that the and on some level the mechanic is working, where like it's a balance where you will die in this game. The guy swung you and he had an Alton and you had M80 and you went on a 14 rage streak and you were crushing with M80 and you go, damn, I wish I had M61 right there. But then you might go 14 raids in a row with M61 fighting Timmies and you can still be effective, but you spent all this extra money on this extra pen and the round that pens and that money is spent in case you come across a situation where that extra pen
would be valuable.
It's
basically insurance.
It's insurance. It's, dude, it, exactly. So it's like nobody wants a round with 100 pen and 100 flesh. That would be broken, but it would be the best. It would be perfect because we'd have all the overpen and all the over flesh and everybody would die in one shot and it would be sick. But it's like nobody would want that and the game would be incredibly unbalanced. So the point, like, that's the thing is, like, I love that. I love that we... argue not that I'm overpen is a different thing, but like that's part of the conversation is that like it's insurance, it's in case you come across a certain situation,
the balancing the right tool for the right job. That's all interesting and fantastic. Just don't fucking call it
when you're
mad that because the penetration didn't fail to kill them or kill them faster, it was the damage, because there are bullets that there are examples where people will say a bullet with 50 damage and 50 pen will overpen, but a bullet with 50 damage and 40 pen won't if all you needed was the 40 pen.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, and once again, if you're listening to this conversation and you're frustrated about something, watch the video. I watched the video earlier this week. I can pretty much guarantee you what you're thinking in your brain was directly stated or answered by Veritas in the video. So we're talking about like specific comments to the video, Because I'm sure, and the reason I say this, because I'm sure there are people yelling at their screen right now, because the comments are used such a bad round for his example. If he wanted to make his point, he should have used M993, because 993 has 70 pen and nothing in the game is a class 7 armor. But he used SSAAP, which has 57 pen, and there are class 6 armors in the game. So it was like such a terrible round to use.
Although in the, right. But in the context of actually knowing penning armor and arms and armor twice, then 70 pen is actually, because it's going to be 70 on the first roll, 56 on the second roll, 42 on the third roll, or whatever, right? So the 40 pen against partially damaged class 6 armor, try running the numbers on that. You have to know how much in the two times it's damaged the armor.
And that's such an interesting thing, because that ends up presenting itself in the exact opposite thing. Somebody might shoot somebody with a maybe not 993 and say, but like another high tier, like the MAIAP or something with BP or whatever. And they might not kill that person and be frustrated and think that the reason they didn't kill them was because it didn't have enough damage, when the reason they killed them was it didn't have enough pen. Because like you said, if it penned, if it was on its second or third penetration, and now the round that was considered to have overpen because it has 61, it reaches the chest of the thorax or the forward armor. Now it's only got 48 pen, so it doesn't pen. And they go, oh, if the round had more damage there, I would have won that fight, when they don't realize like just the trajectory of how they hit. So that is such an interesting thing, because you can be mad that it, because it had too much pen, when in that situation it didn't have enough pen. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you know what the worst part is that the actual fine details that we just talked about this whole time, and that everybody debates in the comments and historically have debated on Reddit and everything like that.
Yeah.
The elephant in the room is that even none of those things are ever relevant.
Yeah.
The number of times that the reason why you, the reason why you died, or the person you were shooting didn't die, was because the bullet had 5 less damage because it was a balanced for penetration. More often than not, you thought you hit them in the head, or you thought you hit them in the chest, but their arms soaked up all the bullets. More often than not, it was a bug, or the scav had a different amount of HP, or it was the net code. That's 98% of all the things that people whine about, and they blame it on overpen.
Or
all that other bullshit. And then the fine details of the ballistics, they're wrong about, but even if they weren't, it's 2% of the time.
Exactly. And another thing is just like missing your shots. Like I would just like, I'll put like $100 on the table. I have a clip of you
in my video, in my follow-up from the audio video from a podcast episode where with Deadly Slob, where you talked about recording and going back and being fucking wrong all the time about
all
your shit.
All the time, dude. All the time. I'm like, chat, this bull crap. I clip it, I watch it back, and I go, yeah, I missed every single shot. I just didn't hit him. I just didn't hit him. And it's like the amount of nobody. So exactly. When you distill it down, when you, the funnel, if let's say 100 deaths that you experience over the course of a week, it's like 48 of them are like the game just cucked you. Like desync, whatever. You know what I mean? Like 30 of them are you just missed your shots. And it just keeps refining down. The game cucks you. You missed your shots, or the ballistics worked completely as intended. You just had like, he had a slick and a wrist tee. You know what I mean? And then there's also a percentage where you died and it wasn't even a fight. You spent all this money on M61. You spent all the money on the perfect ammo for the situation, and you get one tapped from a rogue or just from a guy with a voodoo. You know what I mean? So then a certain percentage of your deaths is going to be just like, there was nothing you could do. And then a certain percentage of your deaths are going to be in fights where you lost because maybe them. And then of that percent, maybe one or two of them were because you should have had better ammo.
Yeah, the scenario,
like, it's crazy that people spend so much time. You would, like, if we're going by percentages, the of 100 deaths, the lowest hanging fruit is, how do I get better? You know what I mean? Like, how, like, because the game cucks me, I can't do anything about the game cucking me. I should have had better ammo. That really only accounts for 2 out of 100 deaths. The biggest chunk of things the biggest chunk of deaths that you have power over is the play, is the movement, is how can I get better. Yesterday, I was like, I was on cloud nine because I ripped a dude with a slick and a wrist tee with an MP7 with subsonics. And I love subsonics because they give me a lower recoil and I feel like I can hit more shots. And
really
I posit that hitting more shots is higher DPS than missing more shots, right? Like lower damage, lower pen, but 60% more hits nets out to more damage over the course of one single mag. And I crushed this dude. He only hit me once. He had a slick and a wrist tee and a mutant. Velian grenaded me as soon as I killed him. But I ripped through him and I was like, there it is, boys. I was like, and it was crazy because I won that fight because of my play. I jumped up on a thing. I got a super high angle on him. He didn't know. He didn't know where I was until I had already opened fire on him. And I was like, boom. You know what I mean? Like that you have power over is like work on getting better. Your people are so caught up with the one or two deaths of 100 where that, man, if I had just brought out M61 instead of M80 or whatever. And I'm like, dude, you're
the situations. The situations you're talking about are the exact situations that, I mean, and this is connected to, you know, whenever we talk about having like longer time to kill and all that stuff, yeah. Right? Back in the day, there were so many more fights where you'd be full chatting with your Fort Fast, you know, meta M4, you know, back in point fucking 6 or 7. Yeah. Running through factory, turn the corner, you see two guys with Fort Fast fucking goggles and pilgrims, and you're laying into them and you go toe to toe. It's like a fucking firefight, a brawl where you're eating bullets. Not only are those some of the more fun situations, but when you survive that with 7 HP, 2 bleeds,
and
all your armor is all zeroed out and your magazine is empty, that's when you know your choice in ammo, the fact that you repaired that armor beforehand and that you used the Serv 12 instead of the CMS,
you're like,
the numbers mattered.
Yeah.
Very, like 98% of the time, it ever fucking matters. Yeah. You're running along and you go, brr, you miss all your shots and you get one tap or two tap. And it's like, your armor didn't matter. Your helmet didn't matter. Your ammo didn't matter. Your mods didn't matter. Nothing fucking, the stims you used didn't matter. Whether you used a CMS or a Serv, whether you used morphine, whether you used a fucking propane, none of that fucking mattered. It's so rare. Yeah. There's a million things that all modify everything. Min-max it by 0.1 and 0.7. Everything modifies your chances of living by 0.06.
Yeah.
When.
And if you would just watch your own gameplay back, you'd be like, I suck and I could just get better. And that'll increase my survival by 10%. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You, if we're taking score here, right? Like all of these choices you're making, all of those things are adding on tiny fractions of a percent of whatever.
Yeah.
But you lost by 50 points in that fight, dog.
Exactly.
You know, it's just not close. It's just not close.
100%. So, you know what would be potentially a really, really fun offline community thing is you go labs and it's, I know not everybody could do this, but it's labs, slick Alton. Everybody has MP5 SDs with PST. Low recoil, low pen, good armor. Like, what would the fights be like? They'd be extended firefights. You know what I mean? Like, movement. Can you turn? Can you flick to somebody? Those would, you would win if you could do those things. It would be like skill-based PvP labs. MP5 SD, 50-round drums of PST, slick Alton. Everybody, all 14 of you. That'd be fun.
God.
That'd be fun.
Now, if only you could turn on low gravity and like big head mode, and it'd be fucking GoldenEye. Oh, dude, that sounds amazing. Why? I don't have access to any of these items. I gotta fucking get RMT'd like a Ford armor.
Yeah, an MP5 SD.
And my I'm gonna get my fucking viewers banned if I wanted to do this because. Yeah. Oh God, that would be fucking rad, dude.
Wouldn't that be nuts?
But after I did all that science, I did like a couple of raids before I ended up and went back and played some fucking chess a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But dude, I got like 5 kills on factory in over like 2 raids in a row. And all of them were like, I'm cheating. Like all of them were like.
Oh,
everybody that I care about will get, you know, is going to be like, wow. And, you know, the people that hate me, some amount of them are dumb enough to be like, yo, if you look at his mouse, look at the pixels,
had some bangers.
One of the ones I was over by Forklift, and you know how if you spawn in Forklift, you take a left over by like Breach Door?
Yeah.
There's like a little pallet truck right over by there.
It's like
okay.
A little flatbed thing. Yeah.
So I have my, before I turn left to go there, I'm like right up against the wall. So the red blinking light is right behind me, but I'm right up on the corner and I'm sitting there talking with chat, barely paying attention. And I hear some like rustling over in that corner. I literally go, don't see anything. And you just see a shadow fall over. And I have like five of those clips, dude. Like, from two raids,
that's sick.
I was like, oh shit, I made a little blooper like montage thing for the next science video, but it was like, it was unbelievable. But one of the more fun fights I had picked up, I used up all my ammo out of my UMP, and I picked up a fucking MP5 SD with, it just had like the PK06 and like a 50 round drum. Mm-hmm. The first 50 round drum had AP in it, 9mm AP. The guy had like three other drums and they all had blue tips.
Oh, geez.
And it was a two-man squad, another two solos. I killed the two solos and I was VoIPing with the guy. It was really funny. First of all, I didn't know you see when people report you for VoIP, because I was
really?
The guy's like, I killed your friend. And I was like, he's not my friend, dude. I just killed him. I'm solo. And he's like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. And I was like, he was trying to tell me like, hey, don't fight me, don't fight me. He had a friend hiding like over there. There were two of them and he was like lying. He's like, I'll come out, you know, whatever. I'm not gonna try to do that whole thing. And I was like, nah, dude, I think I'm gonna kill you. I'm like, before we fight though, you like want me to turn my aimbot off? And then like 15 seconds later I see the your VoIP abuse has been reported. So I think he was doing the
where does that come up? On the center of the
lower right hand corner.
I didn't know.
So I think he was doing the whole, oh, if he's a cheater and I report him for VoIP, maybe that'll flag him or whatever. I was like, you really going to report me? He's like, I didn't report you, man. I was like, dude, I got a pop up. He's like, oh, I didn't mean to. I'm like, oh, yeah, you didn't mean to. So that was a thing I didn't know about.
Funny.
That was surprised about that. But yeah, so after I killed his buddy and like I had to CMS like seven times and I went back and he was all the way in the back room, literally hiding in the back corner. He had some like decent gear, like better gear than I had. And just going in there and fighting him, he had one of the, maybe the ZSH, maybe a Kiver. Oh, you know what? It was the Fast MT with the like Stormtrooper mandible.
Oh, the front. Yeah.
The, yeah.
Heavy trooper mask.
Yeah. And with the blue tips, he's like all of his face shielded. But I ended up hitting him with like seven headshots in a row and he finally died. I'm like, fuck leg meta. I'm not going for leg meta. Yeah, I'm like, dude. I'm aiming for the guy's head. And that's just what I trained myself to do.
Yep. I'm in the same place. I have such a hard time doing leg meta, man. I just can't. Center mass, let the recoil take me up to face.
So yeah, there's that. Yeah. More science coming out in the next couple of days. Everything you knew about Penn, you were wrong about.
You were wrong.
Find out now. Tarkov science gone sexual.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was just reading off my next five titles.
Oh yeah.
YouTube video titles.
Other than that, in Tarkov, I mean, they did that Q&A a few weeks ago with like the Russian. And it was transcribed. There was some interesting stuff in there talking more about, by the way, did you read through the transcription of that? Okay. I know we talked about like the unconscious states and I was like very skeptical and you were saying like, there's at least a universe where it's cool. Like, and it's beneficial to the experience. They talked a lot about that. Like Nikita said, knockouts are a state of either dizziness, partial or complete disorientation and loss of consciousness. We want everything to work interactively. For example, this is an actual sentence verbatim. For example, you can slip on a ladder or get knocked off a door if someone kicks it in. In this case, after such a fall, the player will be able to stand up, but loss of consciousness is a more serious injury where the outside help is needed. So basically,
those examples I think he were making
up was that like you can be knocked over and just immediately be able to get back up, but then you can also be knocked unconscious.
That's right. No, I did. Wait, that wasn't in Russian. That was
I mean, I'm reading it from the transcript of the podcast that was in Russian, and it was translated English.
I don't know. Skillet might be lying to me. But I remember that. And I remember that being the reason why it excited me was because it was, that to me is the most compelling reason they've ever had for having a sidearm and why it would matter. Imagine if you get knocked on your ass and you're like in Last Stand, like Modern Warfare 2, like Last Stand.
If you can do the quick draw, like when a malfunction happens, that'd be sick.
I think it should automatically do that. If you're going to open a door and someone breaches it and you get knocked over, your gun, take it out of your inventory, put it on the ground next to you. You drop it and your character should automatically take out your pistol and be on their ass.
That'd be sick.
And you have to like, that would be amazing. That would be fucking amazing. I would take a pistol with me every single raid.
This was a really interesting part of it. One of the questions was, so what if you're playing alone? And I have been saying this for a long time. You're not gonna like it. Not you, but like if you're a solo player, I've been trying to say this for a long time. It's just like, the question is, what do you do if you're playing alone? Who will help you? He said, nobody will. You need to understand you're on your own if you're playing solo. We don't want to make any mechanics or exceptions specifically for solo players. In any case, loss of consciousness as an event is a random phenomenon. When playing alone, it is worth remembering the possible consequences. If you aren't sure you want to engage enemies, then don't take the risks. Don't play with fate and be doubly careful. And so, like, I've just been saying for so long, people are like, man, they just keep making it harder for solo players. They keep making it harder for solo players. I'm like, yep, it's not stopping. Like, it's.
Well, I mean, is that really harder? Like,
I mean,
it's just not easier. Okay, I guess it depends. Is there a threshold?
If somebody throws a grenade down the hallway and blows up, and I was behind cover and Seal wasn't, and Seal is unconscious, and I can just rip over there and stab an adrenaline into him and wake him up, like they've said mechanics like that will work, that's easier for us as a duo, you know what I mean, as opposed to the solo that just lays there and hopes nothing happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but would they otherwise die to the grenade? I mean, so a lot of times people, I guess it depends on exactly what you're talking about, right? But like if you get shot enough times that you'd get knocked unconscious to the point where like in the game now you would die.
Yeah.
Whereas, so I guess that's the distinction between like there's a benefit for teams in that they could resuscitate somebody.
Yes.
It's like that not any harder.
That is a good way to put it, but that will bubble up into Twitch chat being they are making the game harder for solos. Like that's like you're right in your statement of that. It's like you probably would have died in that situation anyway. It's just like making more possibilities and making it easier, but it will be viewed from the opposite lens, which is like, man, they're just making it harder for solos. They're making it harder for solos. So that's what I'm saying.
Is that anything that really anybody who we fucking care about their opinions actually, like, is that an argument that anybody makes? Like, oh. I'm a solo player. I am only ever going to be adversely, but no. But this is one of those things that, like, I don't expect BSG to build the game.
No, yeah, it's more
in a way that, like, balances that out.
YouTube comments and,
yeah,
and Twitch chats.
Here I am now, put it on the merch. I'm now like defending BSG. Like I'm totally fine with them adding all kinds of mechanics in that make squad. I mean, I don't know.
He said everybody will be able to lose consciousness, including AIs,
even streamers,
raiders, and rogues. Even streamers.
I thought streamer mode was going to disable that. Whoa, yeah, what the fuck? Now I'm not cool with it.
It disables the rain and it disables unconscious states. Talked about like drugs. Will it be possible to pre-inject drugs so as to not lose consciousness in a critical situation? Theoretically, yes, but this still doesn't save you from the possibility of losing consciousness. If you're low on health and sustained injuries and fractures, conditional adrenaline can only temporarily delay the loss of consciousness. So we talked about that a little bit. There was an interesting read in there. I won't read it all because it's long, but one of the questions is there any plans to balance the players in some way? After all, players who can't play often, and then there's players that play all the time. And like Nikita's response to that question, because I was like, what kind of question is that? Is there a way to balance like players that don't play as much to be able to be as good as players? And then it was like a long response to that question.
The answer should be just like no. Like no.
It was in so many words.
But again, there are ways. And there's a distinction to those that for conversation sure, that we don't need there's to get into the nitty gritty.
Too much right now. There's too much right now. Absolutely, absolutely. That doesn't mean, yeah. There's a lot of nuance there. It's not that simple.
There's not enough time for us to caveat the nuance.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are ways they could do that well. There are ways they can do it, and it's bad game design.
Exactly, exactly. It's like when you're playing basketball, you expect the guy that's played 1,000 hours to be better than you if it's your third game. But you wouldn't expect, like, you not to be given the rules to basketball until your 500th hour. That's the thing, right? Is it's like there are times where it would be bad for basketball if the people, like, wait, what do you mean? The people that play all the time get the rules and I don't get the rules. How is that fair? That would be bad game design.
The height of the hoop. No, the height of the hoop scales to how good you are. So
yes.
It's inversely. I want to be able to dunk. So if I'm doing a 1v1 versus fucking Jordan, make the hoop 6.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Because my ankles are kind of.
I want to be able to dunk. Yes, so stuff like that. So it's like,
no, you learn how to shoot on 10 feet.
Exactly, exactly. This was a really interesting thing. The question was, what about flea market reputation? Why also not leveling it by purchasing items? Interesting question. But his response in general about the flea market, he said, this is a very complex topic in terms of balance and convenience. In a way, the introduction of the flea market at the launch made the game a lot easier, and we had to cut its features and introduce restrictions. But because it didn't work properly, the players just got everything they wanted all at once, and that's not how it should be. Auctions in this regard, by the way, would be more appropriate. We still think about the fate of the flea market. This is an important aspect that needs to be well implemented or removed completely. Let me read that again. We will still think about the fate of the flea market. This is an important aspect that needs to be well implemented or removed completely.
Wait, why is nobody even... This should be the thing that everybody's talking about.
That's why I put it on the notes. This was 2 weeks ago, bro. Every other time the flea market has ever been brought up, ever, Nikita is like, look at me. I'm the captain now. We're not getting rid of it. Middle finger to you. Shut up. Like, I mean, the vibe has been there is no crack. There is no opening there ever. And in this podcast, they transcribed this and put it on the forum. I don't know if maybe.
And it's not. How is nobody? Why do people?
Nobody's talking about
nobody's,
it.
I expect my email to be filled with 1,000 emails being like, talk about this. What do you think? And nobody said a fucking
nobody
thing. That's
the
thing. Biggest news we've heard in 3 years, other than they're removing Steam Audio, which to me, this seems like another flavor of, you know what? Maybe Ragman wasn't giving them fucking proper support. Maybe he wasn't properly supporting. They need to. They're just going to replace it with something else. Listen, I mean, I've been sitting here basically being like, they're not going to get rid of the flea market. Shut the fuck up. Blah, 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 for so long. I'm upset. I don't give a fuck whether the flea market's in the game or not, chat. I genuinely don't care. I just cannot believe they have done so much fucking work with it and doubled down on it. And we've had to sit and defend it. And we've had to sit and fucking argue for balancing it and all of the issues with the bots and all the bullshit. Oh, there's so many fucking years, Jesse. And now they're like, yeah, we might remove it. We're still going to see when that's going to happen. I don't know how to fucking respond.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. We don't have time to get into like the intricacies of the flea market and all that nonsense. On one hand, I couldn't agree more that I'm like, They've said that so many times, and I've said it so many times because they've said it so many times. I've shut it down. I've tried to keep the conversation. And on one hand, it's like, that's super lame. There's going to be a lot of hands here, okay? On the other hand, I kind of respect that it's like, if you're trying to just put your head through the wall with something and you can't figure out how to make it work because of all the RMT stuff you didn't anticipate and all this other stuff and all this stuff and that you didn't anticipate, blah, 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 blah. I respect to a certain extent being like, God dang it, this just isn't good for the game. On the other hand, please, listeners of the podcast, what he did not say is we're getting rid of the flea market. So, like, just please, you know what I mean? This needs to be an important aspect that needs to be well implemented or removed completely. He didn't say...
Wait, when he said this needs to be an aspect, God, I fucking hate bad translations. Is he talking about a thing that is an aspect of the flea market?
We still think about the fate of the flea market. This is an important aspect, I'm assuming, of the game that needs to be well implemented or removed completely. But maybe he was talking about an aspect of the flea market. That's what your point is, right? Like,
was this like taken out of context somewhere, or is this a bullet point summary?
It's a bullet point summary. I mean, I can read the whole thing for context. The question.
No, but is this a summary that someone else did? Or yeah. Is it a literal transcript translation of, like,
I mean, I want to know. Russian, but at the top of this, it says, we present to you a short transcript of the Girls of Tarkov podcast with special guest Nikita.
I don't think they know what the word transcript means. Because that doesn't.
Yeah, short transcript.
If it's a 3-hour long fucking conversation and there's 15 bullet points, well, then it's not a transcript.
It's multiple pages long. I don't know. Once again.
Does it start off with, hello, we will no. juice time. No. We will,
it
we
starts
juice
with
time.
Question
hey,
one.
We're just... going to, oh, chat, we're going to do, if it's not literally full of shit like that, it's not a transcript.
It starts with questions. You know what I mean? And the question was about the flea market reputation. And he was saying, like, originally he said flea market reputation and offers are limited for a reason. We don't want to make them easier. Everything that a player puts up must be weighted. People should not be able to sell screws, nuts, and wires in bulk. But then he elaborated and was talking about the flea market in general. This is a very complex in terms of balance and convenience. And in a way, the introduction of the flea market at launch made the game a lot easier. We had to cut its features and introduce restrictions because it didn't work properly. And players just got everything they wanted all at once. And that's not how it should be. Auctions in this regard, by the way, would be more appropriate. We still think about the fate of the flea market. This is an important aspect that we need to be well implemented or removed correctly. So he was asked a question about flea market rep. He talked about flea market rep and then started just going wide and was talking about, like, yeah, man, when we introduced the flea market, it was rough and it made things too easy, this, and then ended that thought process with it needs to be balanced or removed correctly.
Wait, it's possible that he was referring to reputation.
Yeah, in theory, that would have been, like, as it reads, anyone would come to the conclusion that he was talking about the flea market in general. But is it out of the realm of possibility that if I spoke Russian and listened to him talk, that his inflection brought it back to the original point?
Send me the link that you're looking at
reputation?
Right now.
Yeah, sure.
Because I...
Here, I'll put it in chat.
I speak Russian. Nobody can prove that I don't.
Well, they don't have the original Russian, and I don't have the video. I just have that, which is what they posted. Just control F flea market, and there's only one question about it.
I control F removed. Okay. This is a very complex topic in terms of balancing. Okay, wait. About the flea market reputation.
Mm-hmm.
The question is about the flea market reputation, period. That's a sentence. Yeah. Why not also level it by purchasing items? Okay. This is a very complex topic in terms of balancing. So, like,
we're already too deep because, like,
No, we're not. We are, but we're not. I'll ask Nikita and we'll have an answer for you. Yeah. If we don't get, like, an official one, but there... the subject of this whole thing is flea market reputation.
Yeah, at the beginning of that paragraph, but he pulls it way back.
But he pulls it way back to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, the original subject.
It makes no sense. It's poorly written regardless. I'm turning Russian.
We will. To me,
it makes less sense if you assume he's talking about the flea market. When he says this is an important aspect that needs to be well implemented or removed completely. You're positing that he's saying that the flea market is an important aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Whereas to me, I read it as this feature is an important aspect of the flea market.
And I understand that both work. I just think in the context of the paragraph that sentence ends, it makes more sense that he's talking about the flea market. Because he pulls it way back. Because then the very next thing he says is we still need to solve the problem with endless loot for the economy to work. Like at this point, at the end of this thing, he's talking about the game's economy. He has, in my opinion, he has left the topic of flea market reputation and has just like gone down the rabbit hole to talk about the economy and the flea market.
Well, okay. So when he said it's a complex topic in terms of balance and convenience regarding reputation, he says, in a way, the introduction of the flea market at launch made the game a lot easier, and we had to cut the features and introduce restrictions. Basically saying, we introduced the flea market, but because of all of these balancing and all of these other things, we had to pull back the reins on a few elements of the feature as a whole because they didn't work properly, because whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then he says some shit about the auction house that he shouldn't have said. And then he says, we'll still think about the fate of the flea market is the part that if he had just left that out. Let's assume everything there. He didn't say, let's assume he said, we'll still think about the fate of this feature. It's an important aspect that needs to be well implemented or removed
for
completely.
Sure.
If he hadn't said the fate of the flea market, when you say the fate of X, it's you have a gun to its temple and you're not sure if you're going to pull the trigger.
You are 100% right. Like, he definitely pulls back and is talking about the flea market as a whole, talking about how it was launched and that people had too much money. But
in the context of needing to balance a particular feature, though.
He's talking about needing to cut back features because it didn't work properly. Players just got everything they wanted all at once, and that's not how it should be. He's not talking about the reputation. Reputation had very little. It had the least amount of the things that caused you to get everything all at once. Reputation had the least to do with that.
Listen, I'm going back and forth on this. It feels like I'm debating what Mark meant in the fucking Old Testament. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I can't ask him.
No, I know. But
I can't ask Nikita. I can go back and forth on this.
Yeah, I am
going to have a stroke if I try to make sense.
I get it. And I definitely concede that, like I said, if I spoke Russian and listened to him say this, I feel like we would have so much more confidence in what we thought he was talking about. Maybe not 100% confidence, but a lot of times, like the inflection, like he could have just like brought it back and been like, yeah, so we need to think about the fate of this or whatever. So I would ask him because it's a big deal. And I feel like on one hand, I feel bad. I know he's a human being and he's speaking a second language, so I don't want to like hold his feet to the fire too much. But like that, like I agree with you that I was like, how is nobody talking about this? So this seems like something that might be worth getting some extra clarification on.
You know why nobody's talking about it? Because A, one peg or nice guy didn't point it out. And B, nobody fucking reads on the internet.
Yeah.
So if they're not going to listen, they're not going to read, there's no TLDR and one peg doesn't make a video, how's anybody going to know?
Yeah. Yeah. High rep equals more money, hence more items. Yes, but once again, it was relative to the other things. At the time of the flea market's launch, found and raid was not a thing in the game. So you could sell everything in batches of however much you want. So having higher rep meant you could sell more stuff, but you could sell anything in any quantity. And that had more of an effect on it than the rep. So like the rep still played a more minimal role than the other features that have been cut. You could sell anything on the flea. There were no restrictions like there are now. You could sell anything. There wasn't the found and raid. So like, you know what I mean? So it's like those features played way more into the amount of money a player could get than the reputation. Even back in those times, I don't think I ever gained additional flea market spots.
Wait a minute, though. Imagine if rep was 8 billion times harder, and imagine you started with you could sell one slot. You have now made the flea market.
Yeah.
You've divided the number of possible items on the flea market by three or whatever, yes. And which means you've divided the amount of money that everybody has.
But I'm not talking about a hypothetical. I'm talking about when the flea market launched. I'm talking about like a real place in time. I'm saying that what I'm saying is that the other features of the flea market played more into how much money I had than reputation. Yeah, in a hypothetical where we had those rules of the flea market, but flea market rep was this or that, flea market would, but what you're doing is elevating the status of flea market rep. So I'm saying at the time in history when things were set in stone a certain way, I'm saying rep didn't play as big of a part as other things.
That's independent to whatever the fuck they think and what they're talking about. So again, the beginning, trying to suss out the meaning but as I read it again, I'm getting a little bit more context. Reputation, flea market and reputation, the rep and offer limits are hard for a reason in terms of balancing them because they don't want to make them easier, which means we don't want to make it so that you can just sell more shit.
Yeah.
Because the game gets easier and it affects the meta and everything. Like literally the flea market, it seems to me like they are saying that flea market rep is almost like a stranglehold on the fire hose that is the loot economy.
Yeah.
So
what I find,
this is an important aspect that needs to be well implemented or removed completely, makes a little bit more sense in that context.
In the middle part.
I'm not. This Nikita is the most, think about the shit that I talk about and I all of a sudden like, oh God, a butterfly. And I get completely caught up in some unrelated shit and I just go on a rant.
Look, somebody's got to ask about it. Now,
he had too much juice during juice time.
Independent
okay.
of whether this means impending doom for the flea market or not, I found that to be an interesting answer because, like, the change to the flea market this wipe was that you only have two listings, or I guess it was last wipe too. You only have two listings, right? And you need 30 rep to get a third listing. So when the flea market originally came out, didn't we have five listings or three? No, we had three listings. And I think you only need to get to 10 rep to get your fourth, 20 to get your whatever. And so now you can sell less, two instead of three, and it's much more rep to get an additional item. I found it.
You know how irrelevant the feature is, though, given the fact that everybody sells items
for 1 ruble less and it instantly
sells. And it sells instantly.
So
there's no limit to the number of things. There's no effective limit.
That's what I'm saying. So like, even if we throw out the whole thing about like whether the flea market is going to go away, I found his answer to be interesting because I don't notice a difference this wipe because when I sell something, I sell it for 1 ruble under, it insta sells, and then I sell another thing. I have an infinite amount of sell slots. And the thing he specifically called out, players should not be able to sell screw nuts and wires and other garbage in bulk. Then why did you limit the slots? Why didn't you just say you can't sell more of 10 items at a time? I was so confused. Like he literally said the restriction, people shouldn't be able to sell screws, nuts and wires in bulk. But right now I can sell 999 and it's only one of my flea market spots. And so I didn't understand why he did. They just didn't put like you can only sell 25 of a thing at one time or whatever. And I was like,
here's the thing.
Maybe there's something I'm not seeing. I don't know.
No. Yeah. I'll tell you what you're not seeing. It's the fact that people who think very, very hard about a certain thing, whether it's some research they're doing, a debate they're having, a decision they're going to be making in their life, right? If you go up to them and they're prepared, right? I'm not talking about you crammed, studied 20 minutes before your test. I'm talking about the kid who went home and did the homework instantly every day and studied flashcards every single day. When you go and you ask them a question, they answer you and they answer you confidently and they answer you with something that they don't have to make up. Because they know the answer and it's a real answer because they're telling the truth. If you were to go to anybody at BSG responsible for any of this stuff and you said, well, why did you not limit it to quantity of the number of items, individual items? They would not have an answer, I fucking promise you. Because they're like, I don't know, Nikita, the honest answer he would give you is, I never, I and nobody else ever thought about that idea either ever or long enough or hard enough that I would be able to remember why.
Yeah.
This obviously good or bad idea was obviously good or bad. And I can't defend it, so I have nothing to say. That's what his inner monologue would be saying.
Yeah.
He would probably say, I don't know, or, whatever. But that's the answer, because they don't actually fucking think about things in terms of clever design or whatever. They think, we want this to be hard. We want this to be easier than a thing. We don't want it to be too easy. We don't want people to exploit it. We don't want people to complain about it. We don't want people to whatever. That's the way that they go about their decision-making process for fucking everything.
And the result is almost always people exploiting it and people complaining about it.
Yeah, and then they approach the solution to those problems with the same mindset. Let's hit everything with a hammer.
And that's why we were talking about this earlier. That's why I was talking about this in my chat. If your team, get rid of the flea market, okay? I can respect your opinion, whatever. You don't want BSG to just delete the flea market tomorrow because it's been in the game long enough and concessions have been made on other aspects of the game design with the flea market in mind, that if they deleted it tomorrow, there would be 5 or 10 situations you had never thought of. And you'd be like, what the hell? Like, they'd delete it and they wouldn't.
The game would be broken.
Remove
Tesla charging stations. And then you realize that everybody who ever bought the Tesla, this portion of the game of life in this example, don't work anymore. Yeah.
So
gas stations aren't working, guys. We're going to get rid of gas stations.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well,
we still have cars.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying. I was like, I'm not even here to say they should or shouldn't. Like, if you're like, they should remove the flea market.
I was going to propose we talk about this next week. Let's do a for instance, because
we've
never humored anybody. We've always said it's not, or at least I have it's not worth even talking about because they're not going to do it.
Because it's not going to do it. Yeah, we should hypothesize a little bit on it next week. But I was talking
Not if Nikita says, oh, no, no.
True. That would be so bad.
I got to clarify with him right now, but sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, it's like, we were talking about, I was like, man, even if you're so on that team, like, we're so in the weeds, you know what I mean, with what people call spaghetti code. And it's not even just spaghetti code around, like, AI. It's spaghetti game mechanics, spaghetti quest design, you know what
it's
I mean? Like,
Bertucci's free-for-all endless breadsticks.
Yeah. So there's so many things that all these little concessions and these little tweaks that have been made around the game as it was when the tweak was being made. And
they're not little. They aren't little.
Yeah, and then the game changes and then more tweaks are made as the game is being made as it is right now. So it's like, man, it's like if your team...
Crafting limits, quest limits,
yeah.
Every aspect of the game
is tied. If your team get rid of the flea market, that requires an overhaul of the... You know what else is crazy? Think about how...
Everything.
Think about how many items are in the game now versus when the flea market was first put in the game. How many just items?
I showed the traders side by side, which you can see in the history video. Level 1 therapist used to have like 6 items.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, think about what, you reset your account, no flea market, everyone's pumped, and you need a thermite for X hideout thing. And it's like, what if you just can't find one? Because there's so many items in the game. It can be so hard. I'm understanding that with the John B's right now. Statistically, it spawns everywhere. It spawns everywhere. But I'm just getting the really bad RNG. And there'd be no flea. I can't just buy a thermite for my hideout upgrade. You could be stuck for weeks on something. So like, they would need to completely overhaul the traders. They would need to completely overhaul the loot economy in raid. They would need to completely overhaul quests. And that's because it's been in the game for 3 years. And so even if I'm not saying that should undermine your opinion. If you have a well thought out opinion about why the flea market should be removed, cool, man. I respect that opinion. I'm just saying, don't jump on this and be like, yeah, delete it tomorrow. Cause it's like, that would, the game is so spaghettified now. That would just be atrocious.
Can you fucking imagine? And here's the thing. The sad part is that would be the type of thing. I'm skeptical. Okay. I'm skeptical, but that would be the type of thing that they would do. They'd remove it without changing anything else.
Yeah.
But they won't go and turn the scavs down to moron mode because they've got more work to do
God
with other
forbid.
Shit. It's like,
Yeah.
we could say, hey, you want to solve all the problems with the loot economy? It doesn't matter if people are farming rogues all day, every day, you know, for all this shit. If you get rid of the flea market and you can't buy or sell fucking anything and blah, you don't have to worry about half of the bullshit with RMT and all these other limits. But, you know, oh, I forgot where I was going with that rant. I halfway through, I panicked and realized I'm tired.
There's too many rants.
I was gonna make a connection about like them.
It's fine. Listen, it's fine. But maybe next week, yeah, we'll do a little.
I'll know tomorrow.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah, I was about to say, you better message me.
And if you want to know in the meantime, between Monday and Monday, or whenever you're listening to this, in the next week,
yeah.
Unless you're one of those weirdos who's like listening to this, you're catching up on old shit. It's actually like 2024. I see you, Steve, listening in 2024. Steve, I see you. You're my homie. There's going to be one person who's like, what the fuck? Yo, what the fuck?
2 years.
It is October in 2024.
Yeah. I was trying to think if there's anything else in the Q&A. Not really.
And I forgot what I was going to say there too. On that, like, I just had three full blown
rants that
conversation
just like,
rants that just was like, I don't know, dude. I keep trying to screenshot it, and I keep clicking and dragging the screenshot of the quote into our Discord conversation instead of into Telegram with Nikita. I did it three times in a row, and that's why my brain is like not working.
Oh,
I was going to say. In the intervening week, come in and say hi to me. I'll live on Twitch. Watch me play chess, and I'll tell you the answer to what Nikita said.
There you go.
And use your Twitch Prime subs on Jesse Kazam.
Nah, my guy blows.
Fuck Jeff Bezos. Just kidding. Just kidding.
That's going to be the intro.
Jeff Bezos is what I named my pet ferret. Fucking hate that thing.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a lot. That was a good one. That was a good cast.
That was a great one.
That was a really good one.
Does this mean you are considering removing flea market or considering removing rep? Which did you mean exactly?
And mark. You sent him a screenshot of the quote, right?
I sent him a screenshot of the whole fucking three paragraph bullshit because, yeah.
Okay. Thank God.
He's going to be like, I never said any of that shit.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Well, cool. Thank you guys for hanging. This was another banger.
Especially you, Steve, in 2024.
Yeah, that's the code word, Steve. Steve 2024.
Yeah, Steve 2020. Use code Steve 2024 at checkout for 2024% off. Your next malding.
Yep, Steve 2024. If you made it this far in the podcast, throw it in the comment. Throw it in our Twitch chats. If I forget why I told, if future me forgets what that I past me, which is now present me, told you to put that in my chat, just I don't know. Tell me I suck. I got lost in the time loop there and then had no end to my sentence.
You pulled a Veritas.
I pulled a Veritas. I was like so concerned with getting the like which one of me is the past me and the present me, and then I just completely fell off the rails at the end. I couldn't land the plane.
Oh my God. Somebody said something the other day in a video I was watching where they were talking about Tarkov and they said something about in another universe, and all I could think of was hot dog fingers.
It's such a good movie, dude. It's such a good movie. All right. Well, thank you guys for hanging. We appreciate you coming along on the Maltcast. As usual, this will be live on Monday on all the platforms. If you made it here live, thank you. You guys are freaking homies. And if you made it this far in the podcast on any platform, you're a freaking homie. But yeah, you guys are great. Thanks for hanging. And we'll definitely see y'all on the next one. Peace.